Well, sometimes when you're looking for one story, you stumble upon another. That's what happened to Montreal writer and radio documentary producer Elaine Calman-Naves. She was researching a radio documentary about Montreal photographer William Notman, and she came across a juicy scandal involving William's younger brother, Robert. After much sleuthing, Elaine Calman-Naves tells the story in a new book, Portrait of a Scandal, The Abortion Trial of Robert Notman. It's published by Vehicle Press, and I read it over the Christmas holidays, and Elaine Calman-Naves is here with me now. Hello.
Hi, Jeanette.
So, I know that there was a lot of sleuthing involved in this story. How did you come across it in the first place?
I was interviewing my chief source for my documentary about William Notman, whose name is Nora Haig, at the McCord Museum, and she knows everything about the Notman world. And I just said to her, very, very oddly, were there any black sheep in the Notman family? And she sort of thought for a minute, and she said, well, she mentioned a brother who, she said, had a drinking problem. And then she said, and then there was Robert, another hard-living boy, the one who was up for murder. And I was surprised. I was, of course, doing my proper Notman work. What she said was he was up for murder in a case that was really covered in all its ins and outs in the newspapers. So in my, you know, non-existent spare time, I checked out some of these newspapers on microfilm and found that even Nora, who knows everything about the world of Notman, had it wrong. He wasn't up for murder at all. He was up for abortion in 1868. And so I continued to do my work for the documentary, which aired on Ideas, and called, I think, The World of William Notman, or William Notman of Montreal. And this was sort of percolating at the back of my mind. It looked like it was going to be a lot of work, and I had other things.
But what made you think it would be a great story to follow?
It was just amazing. I mean, even the little that I knew at that moment was to boggle the mind. The story burst upon Montreal by means of a suicide, the suicide of an up-and-coming and extremely capable and popular and competent doctor, young doctor, 28 years old. Nobody could understand why he'd killed himself. And then there was an inquest. And then there was, at the same time as the inquest, which showed that he had taken poison, or he had been poisoned, it wasn't yet clear, there was a police investigation that began based on things that become clear later on in the story. And the girl, it seemed that there was a connection between a girl and Robert Notman.
And the doctor.
Well, and the doctor. But they came upon this story of the girl and Robert Notman through following the path of the doctor and the fact that the girl apparently disappeared. The girl was going to school at the McGill Normal School. She was not the kind of person that you would associate with having an abortion. So it just kept on, you know, teasing me.
So the basic story is that Robert Notman was up. Tell me, Robert Notman was accused of trying to procure an abortion, right?
Actually, what he was accused of was procuring and counseling and commanding Dr. Patton to feed a certain noxious substance to Margaret Galbraith, the girl. And that was the charge. Since there was no doctor, no abortionist to prosecute, and since abortion was a kind of a really hot button issue at that time in Montreal, they had to go after somebody. And so they went after him. And the fact that he came from a notable family, that his brother was a very prominent man about town, and that, you know, the girl was a girl of good family also, made this be an absolute, you know, cause célèbre. Newspapers at that time had a habit of covering trials very, very meticulously. They didn't just say, there's a trial going on and this person, you know, summarizing the events. They actually recorded, wrote up the testimony of each witness. And you had several newspapers doing this. So you could get a very, very full picture of what was going on by following that particular trail.
And this, you said, because abortion was such a hot button issue and because of the fact that these were notable people from notable families, this really became a focus of attention for a while in Montreal's high society, right? I guess in all Montreal society.
Well, it traveled all the way back to Scotland, for instance, where the Notman family came from and where also Margaret Galbraith was a recent immigrant from. It was covered even in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. It was also taken into account by other newspapers in Canada who picked up some of the threads. One of the French newspapers did a very minimal mention of it, but mentioned it. So, yes, and because these were prominent people, the courtroom was chock-a-block with people. In fact, the lawyer on the judge on the very first day ejected all women and young people from the room. Hmm. Giving no reason why, except that he obviously did not want them to hear about the kinds of ways that an abortion could be arranged or a pregnancy could be terminated.
How challenging was it to find out what really happened? Because there was a certain amount of material in the newspapers about the trial, but then you had to find out what happened to them.
That was very challenging indeed, because if you followed the thread directly, it came to a dead end. What happened was, and I don't want to give everything away, but what happened was that...
Yes, because it does read like a Sherlock Holmes mystery, your book, well, sections of it.
Thank you very much. thank you very much.
Prussic acid and all kinds of...
There are surprise witnesses. There's different kinds of motivations. There's the essential mystery of the two main characters also, because you can find out a great many things, but you can't find out really what they were like or what made them do it. Why Robert, for instance, who was a widower with a young child, did not marry this girl. Why, instead of marrying her, he took her to the fanciest hotel in Montreal, which is where he arranged for her to have the abortion. I mean, he didn't wash his hands of her, but he didn't do the honorable thing by her. So these were all big, big puzzlers for me. And I couldn't solve all these mysteries, but I could have educated guesses about some of these things. And so the book is written in a way that accommodates both the straight historical record and also my interpretations, my conjectures about what could have been. And so there is a certain amount of dramatization that goes on in the book, which is quite novelistic.
You know, I think that's the combination that I really like, because I said it reads when you're telling the story of the trial, some of it reads like a Sherlock Holmes mystery. But then we have all these details about those 29-inch wide cells at the Kingston Penitentiary, all the story about photography, the legal system. We read about, is it Henry Drummond who was the judge?
Judge Louis Thomas.
Louis Thomas Drummond.
Yes.
All of these people who really existed, so we really get a glimpse into what Montreal High Society was like, which I found pretty interesting. What did you enjoy about the research and writing?
Just exactly what you say. This story, which at one point I considered writing as a novel, but once all the different plot twists became clear to me, I realized if I wrote this as a novel, people would just think that I was way over the top, because there are too many strange, strange things that happen, which I'm not going to give away. But what was enjoyable was finally nailing it down and organizing the material. Gathering the material was not so enjoyable. You know, the microfilm part of it, the printing up of the microfilm, the then having to retype all that printout because they were hardly could be read. That wasn't fun. But what this book allowed me to do, I thought, what this mystery allowed me to do was to take a kind of a snapshot, but maybe more of a panoramic view than a snapshot of Confederation era Montreal. I could look at how medicine was being practiced. I could look at different attitudes to abortion, and the attitudes to abortion were amazing to discover, because there was this hot button feeling that this is the crime that will end all of civilized society, all morality. And why were they so phobic about it? Because indeed, in the United States at this time, there was quite a huge wave of abortions going on. This was a fascinating thing to discover. For instance, that during the Civil War, which is around the time that this is happening, there were 100,000 prostitute-related abortions in the United States in 1 year alone. So there was knowledge about this. There were articles in the New York Times about this. There were abortionists advertising openly in New York City. So how to get all of this in? It makes us question many of our ideas about the Victorians.
It does. And you talk about prison reform, too, and all kinds of issues about the conditions of living conditions of people just coming from Scotland. Comparing the difference between, Notman's wife says, how much more food there was here, for instance, in New France, or not in New France, but in North America compared to when she'd grown up in Scotland.
Yes, and I wanted very much to have another couple in here that was a foil for this rather sad and sordid story. And that was the story of William and Alice Notman, who were lovely people, with also a backstory, because William Notman came to Canada under a cloud. He was escaping. He was on the lam from the law also for something rather minor. But they were such lovely people and such wholesome people in a way. And yes, Alice Notman was amazed by a servant's attitude toward a mistress, an employer here. She said, serving a cup of tea to a plumber, shall we say, he did me the great favor of accepting it, she said, when she sort of saw that she was going to be Lady Bountiful. She's a wonderful character. She had some great letters and she had a real sense of humor. And I found it a very, very rich canvas to paint.
And a case where truth is stranger than fiction. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jeanette.